Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM, Port Huron.
Alrighty. For those on radio or simulcast or podcast, you're listening to Our Savior Lutheran. In the tradition of the Christian church, this is longly remembered as Palm Sunday. In 1978, with the Green Hymnal, we recognized with the other denominations the Sunday of the Passion. So it's a dual theme for this Sunday. And we begin, for those on the radio, with a procession of palms distributed to our members standing in the narthex. We begin our service. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The Lord be with you. A special gospel reading will have the regular text for the day. But after he said this from Luke's gospel, Jesus went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and to Bethany at the place of the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. So untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just simply say to them, 'The Lord needs it.'" So those who were sent departed, and they found it just as Jesus had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying this colt?" And then they said, "The Lord needs it." And then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks upon the colt, they set Jesus upon it. He rode along, people kept spreading their garments, their cloaks, on the ground on the road. And as he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen of Jesus, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Now some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop that." Jesus answered, "I'm telling you, if these people were silent, the stones around you would shout out." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And with our fronts of the palm tree, let us go forth in peace in the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray together. We praise you, O God, for the redeeming of the world through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Today he entered the holy city in triumph. He was proclaimed Messiah and King of those who spread their garments and branches along his way. Bless these branches and those who carry them. Grant to us, Lord, in the way of the cross, so that joined to his death and resurrection, we may enter into life with you through the same Jesus Christ, who lives and dies in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us go forth in peace in the name of Christ. Amen. We sing our hymn. As you sing, watch your feet. We sing, oh, glory, laud, and honor.
Oh,
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'll please join me in the prayer. Everlasting God, in your steadfast love for the human race, you sent our Lord Jesus Christ to take on our nature and to suffer death on the cross. In your mercy, enable us to share in his obedience to your will and in the glorious victory of his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. We have the reading of the first lesson.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The first reading for this Palm Sunday comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 50, verses 4 through 9. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? The word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. So, second reading. Gary, thank you.
Christ did not act to attain status and glory, but was obedient to God, even to the point of death. Following Christ's example, we do not seek personal status or glory, but care for others as God cared for us in Christ's death. The second reading comes from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Being born in human likeness and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Gary. For those on radio or later podcast, we participate each year in the Sunday of Passion. The mood had changed from the hymn of praise in our processional offering to the first reading that you heard Gary read. It's talking about a suffering servant. And with that in mind, those who are lectors for this portion of readings, you may go to the narthex. There the microphone will greet you for your speaking part of this reader's theater. This is the gospel of the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke's account. So here we go. From Luke 22 through chapter 23. Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew near, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes were seeking to put Jesus to death, for they feared the people. And Satan entered into Judas, he was called Iscariot, who was of the number of the 12. He went away and he conferred with the chief priests, the officers of the Jewish people, how he, Judas, might betray Jesus to them. They were glad and engaged to him, so that in the absence of the multitude, he was doing this. They came to the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed in the tradition of the Passover. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying,
"Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it."
They said to him,
Where will you have us prepare it?
And he said to them,
"Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house which he enters, and tell the householder, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I am to eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished, and there make ready."
And so they went. They found it just as he told them, and they prepared then the Jewish festival of the Passover. And when the hour came, Jesus sat at the table. The apostles were sitting with him, and he said to them,
"I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I shall not eat it until fulfilled in the kingdom of God."
So Jesus took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said,
"Take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I shall not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes."
And so then he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it. He gave it to them, saying,
"This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
And likewise, the cup after supper, saying,
"This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on this table. For the Son of Man goes as has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed."
And they began to question one another sitting there at that table, which one of them was going to do this. So a dispute also arose among them, which of them was regarded as the greatest. And so Jesus said,
"The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one of who serves. For which of you is greater, one who sits at the table or one who serves? It is not the one who sits at the table, but I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have continued with me in my trials. And I assign to you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom. And you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on the throne, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brethren."
And Jesus said to him,
"Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death."
And he said,
"I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have three times denied me that you know me."
And he said to them,
"When I sent you out with no purse or bag or sandals, did you lack anything?"
They said, "So he said to them,
but now let him who has a purse take it, and likewise a bag. And let him who has no sword sell his mantle and buy one. For I tell you, this scripture must be fulfilled in me, 'And he is reckoned with transgressors, for what is written about me has its fulfillment.'"
And they said,
"Lord, here are two swords."
And he said to them,
"Is it enough?"
And he came out. He went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them,
"Pray that you may not enter in temptation."
And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw. And then Jesus knelt down and Jesus prayed.
"Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not by my will, but by thine be done."
And when Jesus rose from his prayer, he came to the disciples. He found them sleeping for sorrow. And so he said to them,
"Why do you sleep? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation."
And while Jesus was speaking, there came a crowd. A man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading the pack. He drew near to Jesus. He kissed him. And Jesus said to Judas,
"Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?"
And when those who were about him saw what would follow, they said,
"Lord, shall we strike with the sword?"
And one of them actually struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said,
"No more of this."
And so he touched the ear. He healed the soldier's ear. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and the officers of the temple and elders who has come out against him,
"Have you come out against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you the day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness."
And then they seized Jesus. They led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. Peter followed at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard, they sat together. Peter sat with them. And then the maid, seeing Peter, said as he sat in the light, and she could see him gazing at him, she said,
"This man also was with him."
But Peter denied it, saying,
"Woman, I do not know him."
And a little later, someone else saw Peter and said, "You are one of them." But Peter said,
"Man, I am not."
And after an interval of about an hour, still another person, the third one, said, "Certainly this man was with Jesus, for he's a Galilean." And Peter said,
"Man, I do not know what you are saying."
And immediately, when he was still speaking, the cock, the chicken, crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times." So Peter went out. He wept bitterly. Now the men who were still holding Jesus mocked him and beat him. They also blindfolded the Lord and asked him,
"Prophesy, who is it that struck you?"
And they spoke many other words against Jesus, reviling him. When daytime had come, the assembly of the elders of the people gathered together, both the chief priests and the scribes. They led Jesus away to their council, and they said,
"You are the Christ, tell us."
But he said to them,
"If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man shall be seated at the right hand of the power of God."
And they all said,
"Are you the Son of God then?"
"You say that I am."
And then the whole company of them arose and brought him before Pilate. And they began to accuse Pilate, Jesus, saying,
"We found this man perverting our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ the King."
And Pilate asked him,
"Are you King of the Jews?"
And so Jesus answered him,
"You have said so."
But Pilate said to the chief priests and the multitude,
I find
no crime in this man.
But they were urgent, and they were saying,
He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all of Judea, from Galilee even to this place.
When Pilate had heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. When he had learned that Jesus was a Galilean, he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, so Pilate sent him over to see Herod, who was in Jerusalem at this time for the Passover. When Herod saw Jesus, he was glad, for he had long desired to see him because he had heard about this man. He was hoping that he could see some signs done by him. So he questioned him at some length, but he made no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, and they treated him with contempt, and they mocked Jesus. Then arraying him in gorgeous apparel, he sent him back to see Pilate. And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other on that very day. But before this, they had been in enmity with one another. So Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, and he said to them,
You brought me this man as one who was perverting the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him, neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Behold, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him.
But they all cried together,
Away with this man, and release us Barabbas.
A man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and terrorism, started in the city, and for murder. Pilate addressed them one more time, desiring to release Jesus, but they shouted out,
Crucify him.
So a third time, Pilate said to them,
Why, what evil has he done? I have found him in no crime deserving death. I will therefore chastise him and release him.
But they were so urgent, they were demanding with loud cries that Jesus should be crucified. Their voices prevailed, so Pilate gave sentence that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, whom they asked for. But Jesus, he delivered over to their will. And as Jesus was being led away, they seized Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country for the Passover, and laid upon him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. There followed a great multitude of people, and even women who had bewailed and lamented for Jesus. But Jesus, turning to them, said,
Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will all say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never gave suck. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?
Two others also who were criminals. They were led away to be put to death with Jesus. And when they came to the place, which is called the Skull, there they crucified them two with Jesus, one on Jesus' right side, one on his left. And Jesus said,
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
And they cast lots so that they could divide up his garments and not tear them. And the people stood by watching all this. But the rulers scoffed at Jesus, saying,
He saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Christ of God, his chosen one.
The soldiers also mocked Jesus on the cross, coming up, offering him vinegar and saying,
You are the King of the Jews, save yourself.
Now there was also an inscription that hung over the head of Jesus on the cross. It said, This is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who hanged and railed at Jesus, saying,
Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us.
But the other one on the other side of Jesus said,
Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.
And Jesus said,
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
And so the Lord said back to him,
Truly, I say to you, on this day, you will be with me in paradise.
It was now about the sixth hour of the day. There was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, 3 hours later, when the sun's light failed. The curtain of the temple there in the city of Jerusalem was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said,
Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.
And having said this, he breathed his last. So now when the centurion saw that this had taken place, he praised God and he said,
Certainly this man was innocent.
And all the multitudes who had assembled to see this sight of the crucifixion, when they saw what had taken place, they went back, returned to their homes, and beat their breasts. And all his acquaintances and all the women who followed Jesus from Galilee stood at a distance and saw all these things. Now there was a man, his name was Joseph. He was from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council of the Sanhedrin. He was a good and he was a righteous man who had not been consenting to this whole purpose. Indeed, he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went up to Pilate. He asked for the body of Jesus. And then Joseph, taking down the body of Jesus, wrapped it in a linen shroud. He laid it in a rock-hewed tomb where no one had ever been buried, laid there before. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come there from Galilee to see this, they saw the tomb and how the body was laid inside it. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath day, they rested according to the commandment of the Lord. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I'll let our readers return to their seats. When Donna saw the bulletin, she said, Pastor, you typed Philippians here, not a sermon outline. I said, that's to make me flexible to make this sermon longer or shorter. What should it be? Up or down? No. Many came into Jerusalem that day. They were expecting a revolt and an overpowering of the Roman regime. 6 days later, they were crying for blood. Not of Rome, but of Jesus Christ, the one who came calmly among them, led like a sheep to be sheared. And like Isaiah will say in 51:53, he did not open up his mouth. He took all the abuse this world could send, and he swallowed it up for our sake. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, in the Philippian text there inside the bulletin's cover, these words of Paul to the church at Philippi are a wonderful witness of what this event of the crucifixion is about. Scholars believe that this was a hymn in the early church because it succinctly said the mission and purpose and deliverance of Jesus serving the kingdom of God, which has direct effect upon every one of us. You know, sometimes we get criticized that the church is irrelevant to the times, and I dare say, what is more relevant than death and dying? It's a subject we don't talk about anymore. funerals that get posted, and yesterday we had Iris, our organist, service memorial for the family and for the community. But we always find a better reason or a better use of our time than going to a service like that, because we are a death-denying society. Jesus knew our fears and our anxiety about life and death. And he looked into the face of death, he engaged it, he defeated it, and he gives to us the victory by his crucifixion. As Paul begins in the text, you who believe in the Lord have this mind was part of Jesus' whole existence. So if you wanted to please the Lord, you would listen attentively to the words that follow from Paul. Think like Christ. Now, I'm not talking about what would Jesus do as much as a life, not just an event, not just a choice, your existence. What that would be like if you put the mind of Christ into your head. How would you look at your strangers? Look at the people who are suspicious. Look at people who are on addiction. Look at those who you have a grudge against, or they have a grudge against you. Look into the face of them and have the mind of Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, he did not, though he was in the form of God, which we can't even comprehend. You can't wrap your brain around it. We're totally mortal. Our feet are securely attached to planet Earth, and we have no idea from whence Jesus Christ came to us except from the Father. He did not count equality with God as something to be exploited. Now, you and I have known people who have certainly very worthy credentials. They are esteemed by the community. They're esteemed by the culture. They have great posture into this world that is temporal. And people look at them with great respect. How much more you and I and Jesus standing before the Father, he did not contest his position or privilege, kind of the, you know, don't leave home without a card. He left home. And he left that behind. And he emptied himself. I don't think any of us can understand that. But if you live a selfless life, if you put others before yourself, not just once, not just twice, but as a lifestyle, consistently from birth to death, then you understand what Jesus had done for us. He took on the form of a slave. Do you like to take orders? Do you like somebody to bark at what you should be doing? That's what a slave does. We teased yesterday at the memorial service of Iris, the other two ministers, Gary from the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints, and then Tony, the pastor of the Seventh-day Adventist Church of Marysville, Blue Water. You know, we all have been barked orders by Iris. This is what you will do, and I need you to do this. And respect, we did it for her, but we don't do it for everybody. But can you imagine to be emptied like a slave? This almighty God, creator of the heavens and the earth, the skies, and if you heard the broadcast this last week, there was a 29-year-old female scientist that was the first one to photograph a black hole. Well, I guarantee you, in that first century, nobody knew what was beyond the planet or the moon that we could see because they didn't have telescopes. And no idea, billions and billions of light years away was something called what would be named a black hole. But here he was, this one and master creator on third rock from the sun, came here so that he could bring his ministry and his message to us. He was born. While as a slave, he also was born in the form of us. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians says, this Jesus, this Messiah, was the wholeness, the fullness of the divine in human form. He must have been bursting at his seams, because there's no way we could have done that one. The divine of heaven and earth, creator of all things, entered our time and space in the incarnation, and wham, he was here. Born, not as an adult claiming his throne and bucking Caesar out of the bench. He came as a screaming, crying child into our midst. And while our story talks about three wise men coming, they had no idea when they brought their gifts in on that Christmas day for us that this was going to become God in human flesh. An earthly king? Yes. That's why they gave those gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But no concept in the religions outside of Judaism of what this individual baby would do for the salvation of God's people, who God so desperately loved. And while he was found in human form, I dare you to see in the scriptures that he was cocky, arrogant, or pushy. He humbled himself. Now, most people, as a political science student in college and carrying that with me, one of the sayings we always said is power corrupts. And absolute power absolutely corrupts. Human spirit is so easy, acceptable to be in possessed or focus exclusively on the temporal, not the global kind of thing of creation. And so people would try to amass power, influence, prestige, get their kids in college that others are being kept out of because you got the green stuff. In the course of life, people who run for political office, I dare say, everybody says, I'm not doing it for myself. They lie. Egotism is so strong, most of us would say, I'm not getting in the midst of that. Yes. They aspire to power over people. And kind of like God looking down out of heaven in the Psalms, God looks down upon the earth and he sees nobody is righteous. Everybody is a sinner. And that's the broken world we live in too. So Jesus became humble. He was obedient, even to death. There's the choker Paul puts in this. No reason the early church relished these words of Paul, because here's the consensus of who the Messiah is. And it wasn't the triumphal king and general of armies and bringing the angels down and stopping Pilate's dirty deeds and executions of the Jewish people. And certainly in the year 70 AD, Josephus, a historian of that day, says, when Rome came in, which is after the Lord was there and crucified, 2/3 of all Jews were killed. That's a Holocaust. Major Holocaust. They are and were the chosen people. But their death was not a sacrificial death for the salvation of the world. Jesus' death, we use as the word atonement and sacrificial to describe the Lord's dying. It was for us, not for anything God did. In Jesus, he became obedient. He could have justified himself. And like he said before Pilate, I could call down my angels. You have no power, Pilate, unless it was given to you. How would you like to stand before a representative of Caesar who had absolute power in that world at that time and say that you were there because my God made you there? And you are doing what my God wants you to do when you sentence me. Would you have the gall to say that to the powers to be? Because you know what the consequence will be, and so does Jesus. his death sentence. He even died on a cross. Now, you and I have a natural death, whatever form it will take, trauma, illness, sudden death, and many other factors that can take place in our lives. But not one you chose. Was he suicidal? Not at all. Did he have a wish to die? His wish was not to die, but to give his life as a ransom. And if that meant death, that's God's will. So let it be. As he left the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but your will be done. So the death on the cross is the most terrible form of death one living in the first century could go through. As you know, he is beaten, slashed with chains, whips, and everything that they could do to abuse his body and inflict their pain. Allah, the movie, The Passion of the Christ. But then, to understand to be nailed with real metal, this is not plastic, this isn't, you know, this is not Hollywood. This is real-time life, to be nailed to the cross. His feet to be punctured as those nail blows would place by the hammer. The wincing, the pain, the feeling of it all. And then after he died, the Roman soldier piercing his side to make sure what came out of him was coagulated, clotted blood to show he died. Yes, he died upon a cross, not for anything he did. The other part of this, which really is apropos for knowing part two or page two of the story, God raised him from the dead. But that's a week away. When the disciples and the family walked away, it was done. He talked about resurrection, but, you know, he was out of his mind. But it came to pass. When they gathered on that seventh day, first day of the week, the tomb was empty. And there in the garden, several of them would see the risen Lord. They would go into the city of Jerusalem, find him with lock and key and doors closed and secured. That's page two. But we're on page one today. This is Holy Week. You may say, well, what's so holy? Well, in a sense, Jesus and God is glorified in this week, but it's only because he had to die for us. It was the severity of our condition in life, sin. Consequence of sin is death. And Christ became our death so that we were free from our sin, not his. May the Lord Jesus, whose sacrament we participate in this day, who gave us his body and blood, keep us strong in a faith that carries us not only through the cross and Good Friday of this week, but also to the resurrection and beyond, because that's going to be God's world, and there's no debating God for what we should do. We will all know his will, and we will all do it. And we will bend our knee and confess with our tongue Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. May that God, we know, support and sustain us. Amen. We continue with our service with the affirmation of our faith in the Nicene Creed. If you'll please rise. Now, we've been using during Lent the Apostles' Creed, but I want you to know that we have three creeds in the Lutheran Church and the Ecumenical Church of denominations. The Nicene Creed was formulated after the Apostles' Creed was born by the early church. In the fourth century, scholars and church people got together in the town of Nicaea in Italy. At the Council of Nicaea, they wanted to clarify the work of Jesus. Let us affirm our faith. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, and through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. Holy Spirit and Virgin Mary became true man. And for our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to glory to judge the living and the dead. And his kingdom will have no end. We continue with the service. You may be seated. We sing our hymn of the day, "Alas, and Did My Savior Die?"
Barriers preventing us from seeing his saving work on the cross. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is
great. Oh, I did the wrong one. You reveal your will for all creation through stones, seas, mountains, and meadows. In the splendor of what you have made, show us your care for everything, both great and small. Hear us, O God. Rescue those who suffer torture and free those held captive by others. Bring to light the hidden systems that perpetuate injustice among your people. Hear us, O God. Pour courage and hope into people who feel like they are wasting away in distress and grief. Especially remember today in our prayers Sharon Cunningham, Jerry Willer, Lois Langoff, Susan Phillips, Jill Harper, Jeff Parker's Uncle David, Judy and her husband Larry, Marsha Wetzel's daughter Michelle, the passing of Rock Stevens. We pray for Debbie Colley's sister-in-law Georgie, Angel Oswald. And we also remember those that serve our nation here and abroad. Corey Middleton, Tristan Morrison, Jamie Soulier, Jaron Soulier, Rob Nolan, and Faye Wright. And we also ask for prayers for those that have returned safely from serving their nation, home and overseas, and those that have returned to our community. Restore their trust in you, even as you meet their every need. Hear us, O God. Open our hearts and minds to receive the words that you speak. Give us words to encourage the weary and to sustain one another in word and deed. Hear us, O God. Gather your saints into the new covenant that Christ has established for all creation. When we fall into sin, continually renew us until Christ dwells with us again in fullness. Hear us, O God.
That's the double switch. I wondered through all the time why I couldn't hear myself. Well, I apologize. This is the double switch. My microphone wasn't working this morning. Now Doug fixed it. So I gave the schedule of the week. There are flyers on the back table for the Port Huron Music House Spring Concert, Say It With a Song. So flyers are back there. They are going to be our guest here at Our Savior on May 7th for us. So it's a Tuesday, I believe, right? Tuesday, right? Lori? Yeah, and our service team, so yes. And by way of announcements, the service for Iris was a beautiful service. And Iris had recorded before her passing, and she lost the ability to play. She made four CDs. The last one was presented yesterday, but they had all four of them there, where she plays a piano, digital piano, sometimes singing, sometimes hymns that she wrote, sometimes Christmas carols and songs that she's played at various churches. It was a plura of four CDs, and they were there for distribution for anybody who wanted them. It was a glorious day. And believe me, it stretched me. I was with a pastor from the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ Saints. I had to re-study what that meant. And as long as they don't tell any other Lutherans, I'm safe. But it was glorious to be there with another brother of the faith. Also there was her pastor from the Adventist Church, and be good to be with Tony. And recognize you've been listening to no the matter how
Sunday
you
morning
sat in
worship
that room.
Service of Our Savior Lutheran Church begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.